tell you about a girl I know, met her walking down an uptown street. She's so fine, you know I wish she were mine. Yeah, shook up every time we meet. I'm talking about Joe. Nobody but Joe. Come on, give me Joe. So I can get a message to you. Let me tell you about a girl I know. Let me tell you that she looks so good. She's got swinging hips and a beautiful lips. She ought to be back there in Hollywood. I'm talking about Joe. Nobody but Joe. Come on, give it to Joe. So I can get my message through. She be my bride. I'm talking about Joe. Nobody but Joe. Come on, give it to you. So I can get a message through. Let me tell you about a girl I know. Met her walking down an uptown street. She's so fine, you know I wish she were mine. Get shook up every time we meet. I'm talking about Joe. I'm trying to get a message to you now. I'm just trying to get a message to you, honey. I'm just trying to get a message to you now.
iTunes Radio reminds you, Strange Brews, the show of your choice.
Hello and welcome to the Strange Brew podcast. My name is Jason Barnard, and for yet another month we've got a special Strange Brew podcast. The first track that you heard today was by the Redcaps, who you may not have heard about, but the material is excellent even though you haven't heard of it. And one of the reasons we're playing that kind of material for the next hour is that we've got the great honour of transatlantic link up with a very knowledgeable chap, Bruce Welsh. And he's just written a fantastic Rocklopedia of Britain's other recording groups, 62 to 66. Bruce, we opened with the Redcaps talking about you. And is that kind of like symbolic of the range of material and the artist that is in your fantastic book?
Well, first, Jason, if I may say, thank you very much for the opportunity to be on this podcast. I'm very grateful, and the very kind words about the book. The Redcaps, a West Midlands group from Walsall, that was just simply great raw R&B. When you look at the tunes that were making the UK charts when that came out, about the summer of 1963, it may have been just a bit too much for the general record-buying public of the day. It's a great R&B tune, and I mean, even the Hollies did a cover of it. Jimmy Page apparently has been cited as being on that recording, but I do know that he'd been recredited with a number of tunes that, in the personal contacts that I had with some members of the various groups, told me that he actually was not on their recording, so I don't know if he was or wasn't on this one, but it's very much like the groups covered.
Excellent. And next, we have another fantastic song. I'm quite familiar with this song, and I don't know if it's just because I love this kind of era and understand that it's a Joe Meek production. The Blue Rondos and Little Baby, released on Pi a year later in 64.
Yeah, this is an amazing record, I think, for a couple of reasons. And you're right, Jason, it's an RGM production, I think, that was a Joe Meek tune. What's interesting about this thing, and the couple of points to my mind, are this is a group of 17-year-olds from Islington in North London. And, at a time when record companies were pulling much of the strings, a young teenager, Mickey Stubbs, who was their lead vocalist, he actually wrote the A-side, Little Baby.
Wow.
It's a great song, much in the style of Roy Orbison, and it's got that little bit of Billy Fury tonal sounds, I think, deserved a better fate.
Yeah, it's got. It seems like it's got a little bit of sort of darkness to it as well.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah, so let's hear it. The Blue Rondos, a Fantastic Joe Meat production, and, as Bruce reliably tells me, a self-penned tune, Little Baby. The Fantastic Blue Rondos and The Wonderful Little Baby. Next to a song that I wasn't familiar with, and that's the beauty of having Bruce with us today, Brett Young and the Ghost Squad, You Can't Fool Me, which I understand was a B-side released on Pye in 1964.
Yeah, that's right. This was one of the more obscure groups, and again, it's just another example of how much great music was around in the 1960s. I couldn't believe how much music there was out there and how many groups there were. And, you know, Brett Young and the Ghost Squad, there's not really too much information around. But this was from the spring of 1964. And again, another one that Jimmy Page is alleged to have been on. But I couldn't say. This is just another good tune. I mean, that song had some pretty great harmony that, you know, to me was reminiscent of the Peter and Gordon kind of sound, and it had a pretty polished production. And, you know, despite all of the good bits about that tune, basically, the group just faded into obscurity. That was their, I don't want to downplay it, but it was kind of like a one-miss wonder, and yet it was such a good tune.
Cool. Let's hear it. Brett Young and the Ghost Squad, You Can't Fool Me.
Make paper money from trees, go it all on a spending spree. Yeah, you can sweat for your money, spend it on a honey. She'll take it and then run away free. Though everybody tells you that you're great, you bet they're just using that for bait. Make you the living it, and then they turn on the heat. But girl, you can't make a fool out of me. You see it happen before, I had the same old thing. A little girl trying to do me down. She said for me she went, she did with every cent. So honey, you're not gonna mess me around. I'll tell you one
each and every night. This girl, you won't make a fool out of me. Same old thing, the little girl tried to do me down. She said for me she went, she did with everything. So honey, you're not gonna mess me around. I tell you one thing, we gotta get straight. Considering you, baby, I just hate. Oh, you gotta treat me right each and every night. This girl, you won't make a fool out of me.
So that was Brett Young and the Ghost Squad and You Can't Fool Me, next to another B-side from 1964 and another artist and track that I'm not familiar with, which is great. The Nix Nomads, She'll Be Sweeter Than You. Bruce, what's the significance of this choice of yours?
There's a great many things that I don't get, but one of them has to be what somebody was thinking when they picked an ill-conceived cover of Dean Martin's tune as the A-side for the Nix Nomads. You know, the A-side, of course, was You're Nobody Till Somebody Loves You. And despite the way they tried to jazz it up, R&B it, it was just ill-conceived. But what a great driver this one is, She'll Be Sweeter Than You. It was an Ipswich quintet that led by Nick Weimer. What a tight band these guys were. And if you listen to the great bass work in this song, I mean, you just can't help get your foot tapping. They weren't the only band to have the record companies, as I call them, quote, expert, decide what the younger population wanted to hear. And to me, it's just simply mind-boggling. But this is another just great thumping tune.
Great choice. Nix Nomads, She'll Be Sweeter Than You, far better than the A-side. So that was the Nix Nomads, She'll Be Sweeter Than You, from 64. Also from 64, we have Gene and the Statesides and the, Well, personally speaking, the incredibly catchy Putty in Your Hands.
This is another great tune, and it's a great beat. And you know what I really kind of like? The way these guys inserted some great bits of backing vocals that, you know, unless you're really listening for it, it gets overtaken by the beat and the lead vocal. I mean, when you hear the Yardbirds treatment of this song, which doesn't have those bits of background harmony bits in there, it really makes the difference. And I love the way these guys have done it.
Yeah, great. Gene and the Stateside, Putty in Your Hands. So that was Gene and the Statesides, released on Columbia from 1964, Putty in Your Hands. Now to a very lovely number, The Beatmen, Now the Sun Has Gone, an A-side on Pie in 65. Bruce, it is a very lovely number.
Yeah, I had the very distinct pleasure of interviewing three of the original members of The Beatmen, Bill Moseley, Bill Brazier, and Paul Mountain. And just lovely guys, and some great stories. Apparently they had lured Bill Moseley away from another Nottingham band called The Futurists, and when I asked him what prompted him to go, he said they promised me I'd never have to worry about money again. But they released two singles, and I think this is best. It's a great ballad, kind of in the vein of things we said today, only, you know, a little bit slower, and it kind of got that zombie-ish type of sound. It was written by Bill Moseley, who also does the vocals, and great production, and there's a little bit of xylophone thrown in there with that, and a Beatlesque chord when you listen to it at the end. And some of the group still performs today. Great, great song, and I hope folks enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. The Beatmen, Now the Sun Has Gone.
Got no inclination to stay, now the sun is gone. Summer brought me love in a way that made you my only one. Winter skies of gray won't help me to forget. Just
So that was the Beatmen, and Now the Sun Has Gone. And actually, we have an excellent cover, in fact. So it's the Termites and a Jagger Richards number, Tell Me, released on Oriole in 1965.
Yeah, the Termites were two sisters, the Lazell sisters, and they came from Essex, Waltham Abbey. Interestingly, this was released in January 65, and it was the very first Jagger Richards composition that was released by the Stones in the U.S. It made top 40 in the U.S., and it was a number one hit in Sweden, but apparently the Stones didn't release it in the U.K. But these sisters got a hold of it, and I had contact with both Rita and they were telling me that the day that they were doing it in the studio, Mick Jagger and Keith Richards actually came and listened to them. So that must have kind of put them on edge a little, I bet. But it's a great cover of it. I love the guitar work in this. Again, from January of 65, another one of those songs that I think perhaps deserved a better fate.
Bit astounding that it wasn't a hit. So let's hear the proof, the Termites and Tell Me. So that was the Termites and Tell Me. Yeah, that really should have been a hit record. And now to the Masterminds, who we actually have played before on the Strange Brew podcast. And we don't play many Dylan covers, but here's a good opportunity to do so. And so the Masterminds, She Belongs to Me, which was one of the early immediate singles. And it actually had future Badfinger member Joey Mullen on there.
Joey was he got a pretty early start in Liverpool, and just by an absolute fluke and as a complete aside, the house that Jan and I live in, actually we bought it off of Joey's brother Chris, if you can believe that.
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing. I often wonder what a Merseysound version might have been like in this. I mean, couldn't help but wonder if it might have done a little better if it hadn't sounded a bit so much like Dylan. But you know, they did a great job of it, and it's just one of those songs that, you know, help, you know, you can't help but liking.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because obviously you've got the Byrds and Tambourine Man, and they kind of put the Beatle beat to Bob Dylan as opposed to the actual Mersey bands themselves.
Great example, Jason. They didn't try to sound like Dylan on that. They just did their own treatment of it.
Let's hear the Mastermind's more faithful Dylan cover, She Belongs to Me.
She's got everything she needs. She's an artist. Don't look back. She's got everything she needs. She's an artist. She don't look back. She turns the dark eyes of the nighttime, paints the big time black. You will see her outstanding. Better see the anything she sees. You will see her outstanding. Better see the anything she sees. But you will end up peeping through some keyhole on your knees. She will never stumble. She's got no place to fall. She will never stumble. She's got no place to fall. She's nobody's child. The law can't touch it at all.
So that was the Masterminds and their version of Bob Dylan's She Belongs to Me. Next to a very, very fine harmony group who carried on releasing material, I understand, late into the 60s from the Midlands, All That Is Mine Can Be Yours from 65. Tell us about this group, Bruce.
The Montanas, an amazing group. This is one of those just happy songs with a really nice melody, or at least it's got a hook. And again, yeah, these guys turned out an awful lot. Now, they went through, you know, a number of lineup changes in their life, but they deserved a little bit better fate as well. I think that they were just one of those bands that, for whatever reason, it didn't click. But I just like this nice sunshine pop song. It's a bit early for sunshine and pop in 65, but just a great tune. I just don't get how they didn't chart.
Yeah, and I think they might even work with Tony Hatch a little bit in their career, actually.
Yes, they did.
So let's hear a bit of that fine harmony work by the Montanas, All That Is Mine Can Be Yours from 65.
Only heart I want. Yours. is the ring that means everything when the wedding bells ring and my hand's resting in yours is the face I want to see.
Montana's and All That Is Mine Can Be Yours. And next to another number from 65, The Pathfinders and Don't You Believe It. Bruce, what an incredibly catchy number from Parlophone, but it wasn't a hit.
Yeah, a good word. It is a catchy tune, and it certainly has that very Motown sound about it. I had the opportunity to meet Tony Aldridge, the drummer from The Pathfinders, and that's exactly how he described it. He said, we were trying to capture a Motown sound. I said, geez, I think you caught that in spades. I mean, it's great vocals and harmony. But, you know, another thing interesting to me about this single, even the B-side, Castle of Love, was a good song. And that's a little bit of a rarity because at the time, you know, I remember reading somewhere Paul McCartney said, you know, all the A-sides, everybody would hear the hit song, the A-side, and the B-sides of the hits were always garbage. And I'm thinking, you know, seems to me a lot of these groups that didn't chart, their B-sides were better than their A-sides. This one, to me, has got two really good sides on it. A great band, and I think they deserved a much better fate than obscurity, that's for sure. Good group.
Yeah, very good group. The Pathfinders, Don't You Believe It. So that was The Pathfinders and Don't You Believe It. Now to another group I'm not familiar with, which is the point of Bruce's fantastic book, really. Turney's Fugitives. Did you want to run away?
Tierney's Fugitives, from Birmingham. And, you know, these, again, when you listen to the harmonies in this song, this was released in October of 65. You look at some of the songs that were in the UK charts in October of 65, and I have to say I'm a bit surprised that this didn't at least reach the outer edges. It's just a phenomenal production. I just love this tune.
I don't know if it's a familiar thing on Decca, but I know quite a few artists on Decca. The promotion was a bit weak, I understand.
Yeah, and you know that was a fate suffered by a lot of the bands was the promotion, and they didn't try to promote the great tunes like this one. And sometimes they promoted songs that were just, well, I guess it's all a matter in the ear of the beholder, but it makes you wonder how some stuff got sunk to the bottom with just absolutely no push, because I am sure that this song could have been a hit.
Absolutely. Tierney's Fugitives, Did You Want to Run Away? Tierney's Fugitives, Did You Want to Run Away, an A-side on Decca from 65. Next to a band who I understand, Bruce, you've had quite a bit of contact with, the Lancastrians and their song, Not the Same Anymore.
Yes, I had the very great honor of a couple of years ago of interviewing Barry Langtry and Kevin Haywood of the Lancastrians. We launched the book this past summer in Liverpool. All four of the original Lancastrians came to the thing, and it was the first time that they'd been together in over 20 years. And indeed, their original roadie showed up, and I believe he was about 80 years old, and they were just all blown away. But this group absolutely floors me. When I listen to the singles that they produced, I still can't understand why only one was a chart entry. And I was actually torn between this tune, which was written by Kevin Haywood, and a couple of the other group's compositions. One was the B-side to their hit, was called Was She Tall, and another B-side, and I really struggled between these three to pick one. And the other one was called I Can't Stand the Pain, written by their bass player Terry Benson and John Fleury. The guitar work in Not the Same has that faint kind of wah-wah sound in it. It's just a great melody, and it's certainly as good as some of the tunes that did chart, in my view. But I do want to clear up a point here. Barry Langtry of the Lancastrians confirmed to me that Jimmy Page only played on one of their singles, and it was the B-side. It was Was She Tall? and Page did not play on their other singles, which he was alleged to have done. This song, Not the Same Anymore, beautiful, just a beautiful song. B-side, the A-side, was a Ray Davies tune, The World Keeps Going Round, a 1966 Pye single for these guys. Beautiful song.
Yeah, so let's hear it. The Lancastrians, Not the Same Anymore.
Tears fill my eyes and make me want to cry. You know in the way that makes me want to die. It's not the same anymore when I know for sure you're going.
Lancastrians, Not the Same Anymore, a Pye single from 1966, and that was the B-side of a Ray Davies composition, I assume because they were label mates. So next to The Loving Kind and Ain't That Peculiar, why did you pick The Loving Kind?
This is a group from Kent, down in Folkestone, and they released a bunch of singles for Piccadilly, the Pye subsidiary. But this one, I'm not really keen on covers of Motown, generally, because Motown's got such a unique, distinctive sound. But this was a phenomenal cover. They beefed it up a little with some great backing vocals. And what can I say? I just love it. It's a good tune. It was for September of 66. And I just think it was their best single. Great cover of the Marvin Gaye tune, Ain't That Peculiar.
I mean, obviously, 65, 66, fair number of the groups in the country playing live were kind of almost Motown soul tributes, but in terms of actually recording that kind of material, they often, you know, it just didn't kind of work. But The Loving Kind, a great example of a time when it certainly did work with Ain't That Peculiar.
Gets, she seems to hurt the more and more, but each hurt makes my love
Loving Kind, Ain't That Peculiar, next to a song, and I think I might have played it before, but gosh, what power and raucous energy. Thane Russell and Free, Security, another great cover of American Soul track.
You know, it's hard to determine whether or not Russell, his real name, Doug Gibbons, it's hard to determine whether or not he was deliberately trying to sound like Mick Jagger or not. Regardless, he certainly does sound like him, and you could be forgiven for thinking it was Mick Jagger. If you listen to the B-side, his voice is definitely different at the beginning of the song, and then it kind of morphs back into that Jagger sound, be it not as strong as on the A-side. But it's the catchy guitar riff in this one that just hooked me.
How this wasn't a hit is beyond me.
Yeah, I agree.
So let's hear it. Thane Russell and Free, Security, an A-side on CBS from 1966. So that was Thane Russell and Free and Security. Next to the St. Louis Union and a great track of theirs, East Side Story. Didn't they have one or two hit records as well, Bruce?
Well, I don't know that they had a number, but one of their claims to fame is these guys knocked off a group by the name of Pink Floyd in a Melody Maker Beat contest in June of 65, which is no small feat. But yes, you're right. Their debut single was a Beatles cover, which they almost took into the top 10 in the UK. It stalled at number 11. And they also appeared in the Spencer Davis Group's film, The Ghost Goes Gear. Great. These guys are a really tight band, but this one just pumps for me. The East Side Story, it's just anchored by a great sax. Good tune. Really good tune.
Yeah, let's hear it. The St. Louis Union and East Side Story.
Beneath the bare light up above, he gazed into the eyes of love. Bathed in the dirty neon light, she begged him, don't go out tonight. If we work hard somehow, maybe we can find a way out, baby. But he laughed and said, I've got to go. And she cried, no. His arms were warm and strong and young. He promised, I won't hurt no one. Oh, baby, when you gonna learn? Those folks uptown got bread to burn. When they see me flash my knife, they'll be fearing for their lives. They won't give me trouble, yes, I know. And she cried, no. Then came a knock upon the door, two men she'd never seen before.
Did you know Johnny Brown, miss? We hate to tell you this, but has he a relative, you know? And she cried, no.
Of a Decca track, this time from 66, the St. Louis Union and East Side Story. Before we discuss our final song, Bruce, I just wanted to thank you for choosing the material on today's show, which was a fantastic opportunity, a bit like your book, to read about and hear about potentially lesser known artists, but their material was just as strong as many of the other artists that people are familiar with.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, Jason, that's the reason that I wrote the book. If these people weren't recognized in time, historians would look back and they would say, oh, yeah, the British invasion. There was, what, 10 British bands? The Beatles, the Stones, the Kinks, the Who, Jerry, Searchers. But these guys, all of these people, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Well, there's over 950 in the book that released a single in the UK between 62 and 66, and none of them are big name bands. So that gives you a sense of the vibrancy of the music scene in the UK during that time. So thank you so much for having me on today and having an opportunity to share some of these songs with your listeners, because I just love this kind of music and deserve to be recognized and certainly not forgotten, and which was the purpose behind the book.
Yeah, and we finish off with another highlight of the show, really. Again, I'm not massively familiar with it, but as soon as you hear it, it's rather unforgettable. Tony Hatch production, I understand. The Sands of Time, Where Did We Go Wrong?
It was a Tony Hatch production, and he actually co-wrote this with Petula Clark.
Wow.
And, I mean, I'm going to sound a bit like a broken record, but the harmony, you know, in this tune is amazing. It's kind of in the vein of the Rock and Berries, or maybe a little Ivy League-ish, and it just couldn't make the charts. And I guess maybe sadly, this type of harmony just at the time just didn't seem to sell. It was they were from Ealing, and they go back to about 1962 when they first formed as the Four Macs. But they did just some brilliant stuff, and unfortunately, they disbanded not long after their last single, which was in early 67. But anyway, this is a great song, and I hope everybody enjoys it. And thank you again for having me on the show.
No, it's an absolute pleasure, Bruce. And Bruce, before we go today, could you tell me, where can people get your book and they can read more about this material and all sorts of other artists from this era?
The book does have a website. It's whataboutusrocklopedia.com. There are links in there to both to me and to the ordering a book, be it in the UK or anywhere else in the world.
It's great to end on a track really from the end of that era, but has got some absolutely fantastic harmonies, The Sands of Time and Where Did We Go Wrong. Until next time, my name's Jason Barnard, and thank you very much for Bruce Welsh and his fantastic book, which I do heartily recommend, What About Us. So let's hear it. See you later.